I don't know if you all noticed it or not, but in our story this morning about Jesus being betrayed by Judas and then the disciples abandoning him and then him being taken before the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and being falsely accused and then Peter denying the Lord when he's confronted with the fact that he was a follower of Christ. But there's only one person in the whole story before us this morning that wasn't looking out for himself, and that was Jesus. He was the only one that said, you know what? I'm not looking out for my own self-preservation. I'm not looking out for number one. We've heard that phrase many times. I'm looking out for number one. That was not the attitude of Jesus Christ. And he's basically the only one in this story that we see that isn't using self-preservation to guide his actions. So in the events described to us in the Gospel of Mark today, we see that only Jesus was displaying an attitude contrary to self-preservation. Obviously, having self-preservation as a main priority in our lives is going to lead to some disappointment, especially as someone that loves Jesus Christ. We see in Peter that he was disappointed in himself after he had acted on the attitude of self-preservation. And that's what happens in our lives when we do this. We come to a point where our actions are regrettable. And that's what I want us to see this morning, that self-preservation has some pitfalls, and that we shouldn't be looking out for number one, that we can trust the Lord as we live our lives, and as we live our lives like Jesus did, particularly in the passage before us today, that our lives will not be regrettable. Yes, they will have difficulties. Yes, there will be times of hardship. But we will not regret how we handled those hardships. So, as we look at this passage today, I would like us to see how an attitude of self-preservation can lead us to failure so we can avoid being disappointed in the future. Look, well, for time's sake, I won't have us look at the whole passage, but the first thing I want us to understand is this: making self-preservation your first priority will hurt your faithfulness to God. Making self-preservation your first priority will hurt your faithfulness to God. Here we see Judas betraying Jesus just as he had predicted, just as Jesus had predicted. Judas came with a large group of armed men to arrest Jesus. This may have been intimidating to the disciples, but they had Jesus on their side and probably thought that he would display his power in such a way that they would be unharmed in this situation. First of all, we see Judas acting with self-preservation. He's like, whoa, I've heard Jesus say that he's going to be delivered up and killed. This doesn't seem like it's going to turn out for my good. This doesn't seem like I'm going to get the accolades, the lifestyle, and the money that I want out of this situation. Judas liked money. He liked holding the bag of money. And it added up to Judas. I think Judas, because he really wasn't a follower of Jesus Christ, weighed all the circumstances and said, if I don't do something, this isn't going to work out well for me. this isn't going to work out well for me. And so what does Judas do? He makes a plan thinking this is what's best for me. This is what's best for me. He's going to get some money from the chief priests, and he's got this plan, and he thinks it's going to work out best for him. Well, we see later on that that didn't work out for him, did it? It ended up him committing suicide. And we see that when we reject the Lord and we look out for ourselves, that it does not work out. It does not work out. Not only that, we see the disciples. The disciples thought, hey, this is going to work out. No crowd of armed soldiers is too big for Jesus. These guys had seen Jesus raise people from the dead. He had seen them. They had seen him. Well, somebody's got their phone on. My wife. Okay. I'm turning it off.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
You sure didn't. I hear that all the time after my sermons. I'm sorry, Pastor. I didn't get that. Oh, boy. Siri doesn't even get my sermons. Okay, well. The disciples, they thought Jesus is going to work this out. We've seen him work out so many things in the past. He's got the power. He'll probably just wipe these guys out. They'll probably drop at their feet and we'll be on our way. But that's not what happened. Jesus didn't display his power. And as soon as they recognized that that wasn't going to happen, what did they do? They fled. They fled. Self-preservation kicked in when they realized the actions that Jesus was taking in their lives didn't line up with what they expected. So many times Christians do the same thing. They get in a situation that the Lord has brought them to that they don't understand, and instead of trusting him and acting accordingly, self-preservation kicks in and they act in a way that will be regrettable in the future. And that's what we see here. We see Judas not only acting in self-preservation, but we also see the disciples acting in that way. And I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us. Instead of allowing self-preservation to overtake us, instead of letting it rule our actions, let's trust the Lord in our situations, even if we don't understand it. I want you to notice two things that happened to the disciples. They lost confidence in the actions of Jesus. The disciples could not understand the actions of Jesus and lost confidence in him. And many times we do the same. When we can't understand what God's doing, when we can't understand why we are in the situation that we're in, and we can't understand how it's going to work out. That's what the disciples were facing here too. They could not understand how Jesus getting captured by these soldiers was going to work out. They knew the end game. If this happened, Jesus was going to be executed. And they could not see how that was going to work out. And so it made them lose confidence in Jesus. Let's not lose confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. They could not see how Jesus' actions were going to work out for their good. And fear overtook them. Understand something. When fear overtakes you, that's not the time to start making decisions. That's not the time to start making serious life decisions, because when fear is what motivates us to make decisions, they will end in regret. They will. When we need to trust the Lord and trust the actions of Jesus, even when we don't understand them, because He has proven that He is wise enough to know what actions to take to preserve our well-being. That's what I want us to understand. I want us to understand that we can let, because the Lord is with us, because He promised never to leave us or forsake us, that even in situations that look like we're going to be overtaken, even in situations that are fearful, we can trust that He's going to work it out for our good. Bill Hybel said, "When I was learning how to sail, Dad would often say to me, 'Go ahead and take the boat out, but take a friend with you.' A 42-foot sailboat on a body of water the size of Lake Michigan is a big responsibility. But I'd find a junior high friend, and we'd sail past the breakwater, hoist the sails, and head out to open water. If I saw any cloud formation coming our way, or the wind seemed to be piping up, I headed back toward shore, took down the sails, and regained my normal breathing pattern only when we safely tied to the slip. Most of the time it was fun having a friend along, but in a storm, I knew the kid wouldn't be much help. Other times, my dad would come home from work and we'd take the boat out together. When I was sailing with my dad, I'd actually look for cloud formations and hope for heavy air. I loved the feel of the strong winds and huge waves when I was with him. My dad had sailed across the Atlantic Ocean. He had endured 5 days of sailing through a hurricane. He was a veteran, and I was confident he would be able to handle anything Lake Michigan could throw at us. Everything changed when my dad was on board." We talked a little bit about this morning in Sunday school, didn't we? When God told Joshua, "I will be with you always." And we can know that for ourselves as well. As a believer in Jesus Christ, He will never forsake you nor leave you. He is with you all the time. He is with you in your boat. And when the storms come up, you can have confidence that He'll take the right actions to help you through that storm. And that's what we see in the Lord. We see someone that we can rely on when storms come our way. And we can have this confidence that, you know what? God's gonna get me through. One of the things that I've said to myself recently is, you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing how He is going to work things out in my life. I'm looking forward to seeing what He's going to do. Because you know what? Some things we just can't control. We just can't do on our own. And we have to say, you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing how God's going to work this out. And that's a good place to be. Because what that does is it takes fear out of the way. You know, it takes worry out of the way as well, doesn't it? When you can just say, the Lord's with me, I know He loves me, I know He cares about me, and this situation is going to work out. And I'm looking forward to seeing how He works it out. We're not stressed about, oh, what if this happens or what if that happens, right? Because we know that whatever happens, the Lord is with us. That makes all the difference in the world. And that is a peace that passes understanding. When we can't figure out the future, when we can't figure out what's going on, and we still have that peace because Jesus is with us, we will be okay. We need to trust the actions of Jesus even when we don't understand them, because He has proven that He is wise enough to know what actions to take to preserve our well-being. And then, not only that, they fell into the sin of unfaithfulness to Jesus. They were no longer loyal. The loyalty they were so sure that they would keep was quickly eroded. Many times I see in the lives of Christians that instead of clinging to the Lord in times of difficulty, they get away from the Lord. And they get away from being faithful to the things of the Lord. It's the exact opposite of what we should do. And I'm sure the disciples would love to go back and change that, and that they would have stayed by his side all the way. But that's what we do, and we need to remember. Let's heed the advice of Proverbs 3, 4, and 5. Amen? Proverbs 3, 4, and 5. We've probably all memorized that, but let me read it to you. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's what we need to understand. That's what we need to do. Don't fear, just trust the Lord. Cling to him, even in the times of difficulty. Then, making self-preservation your first priority will harden your heart towards Jesus. Making self-preservation your first priority will harden your heart towards Jesus. The spiritual leaders in Israel were definitely looking out for themselves as they arrested Jesus and tried to find reason to put him to death. They wanted to preserve their lifestyle and the security they felt they needed to be happy. So many people like this today. Remember how Jesus described their love for the finer things in life and the attention they received in the marketplaces. Philip Yancey says of this, he says, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you, Jesus announced to the religious authorities of his day. After puzzling over that statement, C.S. Lewis concluded, prostitutes are in no danger of finding their present life so satisfactory that they cannot turn to God. The proud, the avaricious, the self-righteous are in that danger. C.S. Lewis makes a great point. People that have what they want, that feeling that of security, that they preserve themselves, that they preserve the lifestyle that they desire, are apt to reject Jesus Christ because of fear that he might affect their way of life, their what they desire. You know what? Jesus will affect your way of life. He will affect what you desire, but it'll all be better off for you, especially in the end. We need to see that following Jesus Christ, be willing to abandon our lifestyle, our desires to follow him, is exactly what he called all mankind to do. He didn't just call us to say, hey, I'm dying on the cross for you, and I rose again. You want to give me a yay on that? You want to give me a yay? Oh, yeah, Jesus, yay, way to go. And that's it? That's all there is to it? No! No! What Jesus made very clear in his ministry and even now is that following him means abandoning your desires, your lifestyle, so that you are fully committed to him. That's what following Jesus is about. That's what we need to understand. But doing that is actually the best thing you can do with your life. It's actually the way that you will ultimately save your life. That's what Jesus said. The person that seeks to save their life will lose it, but the person who's willing to lose their life for my sake will gain it. That's what we see in Jesus Christ. That is the real salvation of the Lord. The real salvation of the Lord is when we totally commit our lives to Him. And we will not regret that day, that moment that we do that ever in our lives. We will never regret that for all eternity. It will be a decision that you will never regret. You will never have to say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have totally committed my life to Jesus Christ. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I don't think any of us who have done that would ever say that. And so let's remember that, okay? Notice verse 62. It says, Jesus said, I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. If you don't make this commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's coming a day when you will regret that. There is. Because someday Jesus is going to come in the clouds, and He's coming back again. And when He does, He's coming as a judge. He's coming to judge each and every one of us, whether we committed our lives to Him and said, Lord, I want to follow You, I want to do Your will, or whether we say, oh no, I'm not following the Lord. I want what I want, and I'm looking out for number one. Well, there's coming a day when you will regret looking out for number one. We need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus proved His power to us when He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. We need no more display of power than that. He told us He was coming back again, and He will. He is the creator of this universe, and He is the one who will judge all of mankind based on whether they accepted Him or whether they rejected Him. If you reject His payment for your sin because you want to preserve your lifestyle, then you will see Him display His power again as your judge, and you will be greatly disappointed. But that doesn't have to happen to you. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can commit your life to Him and know that you will have eternal life. And He will give you that eternal life, and you will be able to praise Him through all eternity, thanking Him for the opportunity to follow. Not only that, making self-preservation your first priority will lead you down a path you never intended to go. That's what we see in the life of Peter. As Peter is confronted with the question of his association with Jesus, he lies in order to preserve his well-being. I want us to notice that the progression of sin, resulting from self-preservation. It is easy to see how lying can lead us down a path we never intended to go down. Peter never intended to reject. He never intended to. Deny. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. He never intended to deny Jesus. Never. He never even dreamed that he would do something like that. As a matter of fact, he told Jesus, "I will never do that." And Jesus said, "Well, you will before the cock crows three times." And so he did. just as Jesus said he would. But it started with a lie, right? It started with that lie. Peter tells the first lie only to realize more emphatic lies would be needed to back it up. This led him to deny Jesus three times before the cock crowed twice, just as Jesus predicted. Peter never imagined himself denying Jesus under any circumstance. But he failed to understand the danger of making self-preservation a priority in his life. This led to great disappointment in the heart of Peter. And it can happen in our lives too. I want us to understand, later on, Peter was able to talk to the Lord, and the Lord said, "I forgive you, Peter." The thing about being a Christian, we're going to have times in our lives where self-preservation takes over, where it kicks in and we make some regrettable decisions. The good thing about it is this: God is a God of mercy. Jesus is a compassionate God, and he is a forgiving God. He told us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you've been acting on self-preservation as a Christian. Maybe you've been making decisions and having a lifestyle that is just based on what you want. Well, you know what? The Lord's knocking at your heart's door, and he's saying this. He's saying, "Follow me. I'll give you a second chance. I'll give you a third chance. I want to have a wonderful relationship with you where you follow me and you will not regret the actions that you're taking." That is what Jesus wants for all of us, especially those who call him his Lord. And we can have that restored to us. This morning you can have that restored to you. That sense where you feel like you're doing what God wants and he is with you 100% and he is going to help you through whatever circumstances you face in your life. But it starts with us just saying, "Lord, here's my life. Let it be wholly consecrated to you."